He that is not with me is against me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel reveals to us the fierce enmity which exists between our Lord and the devil. Our Lord knew that he was persecuted by the devil and his followers, and the irony of it was that he was accused of being in league with him. In the narrative, we also learn of the human opposition to our Lord, organized and directed by the Jews, who viewed the teaching of him with hostility because it did not fit in with their views and ambitions. They wanted the conquering king, but instead they got a suffering servant of God. Our Lord did not come to establish a mighty earthly kingdom, but he was born on this earth to make reparation. He came to repair the work of God which sin had ruined. And I wanted to speak today how reparation is essential of being a Catholic. A life of a Catholic is filled with sharing the burdens of Christ's cross. There are many examples of life when life of a Catholic can truly be burdensome. Sunday Mass attendance comes to mind. If we want to have hope of resurrection, we need to fulfill our Sunday obligation of attending the Holy Sacrifice of Mass if it is available to us, even if we feel sleepy and tired in the morning. The sacrament of matrimony is another example. This lasting union is also a sign of unbreakable union which exists between Christ himself and his mystical body, the Church. And no matter what the objections, and no matter what the difficulties, this sacred bond can never be dissolved for any reason as long as both parties are living. Friday abstinence is also an example of reparation. From the very first centuries of Christianity, Friday has been signalized as an abstinence day in order to do homage to the memory of Christ's suffering and dying on that day of the week. For a Christian, life offers multiple occasions to practice penance and reparation. A Catholic Christ is crucified Christ, who can only be served by our own crucifixion, that is, by reparation. On the other hand, a false Christ is a restful Christ, who can be accepted to follow quite easily, while at the same time partaking in all life's joys and pleasures. But Saint Paul did not preach two Christs. He knew of one only, Christ crucified. To Corinthians he wrote, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not in loftiness of speech or of wisdom, for I judged not myself to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified." And for followers of Christ, for 1500 years, this crucified, suffering Christ was sufficient. But then the times changed, and men became impatient. Just like the Jews in today's Gospel, who did everything they could to downplay the wonder worker, for the impatient men, the true Christ, the crucified one, was not enough anymore. So they invented another one without the cross, one without reparation. Luther himself wrote that even in the midst of terrors of conscience for sins, one can be sure of salvation because God closes his eyes from sins and covers them and cleanses the soul by death. This is exactly the false Christ, a Protestant Christ, a restful Christ, who can be accepted as a personal savior while at the same time partaking in all the joys and pleasures of life. How different is the suffering, crucified Christ, that is, the Catholic Christ, compared to this easygoing, sin-covering, false Christ. Our Lord could have performed the work of reparation alone, but he did not will it so. He has chosen each one of us to carry our own crosses in life. We know that our Lord was born and was crucified. He died and was resurrected. We know that he lives now in the Holy Eucharist. But this does not constitute the whole Christ. The whole Christ consists of himself, the head, plus ourselves, his mystical body. Granted, our part in the redemption is infinitely small, really nothing, because Lord's sacrifice is all that is needed. But God requires us to do our part, and because of its uniting with the all-powerful sacrifice, a soul who does reparation will be ransomed. This is what our Lord himself tells us today. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We are truly ignorant of our duties as Christians if we do not know our obligation of sharing in the work of redemption. If we try to dodge of doing our part, we are omitting the most noble duty of a follower of Christ. How did then Christ made reparation? He did that by suffering. He was not obliged to choose a plan of redemption which would make him suffer pain and humiliation. But this was precisely the plan that he chose, rejecting all others, because he willed to repair all by suffering. From this it follows that as we are necessarily united with Christ in his mission of redemption, since we belong to his mystical body, we also have to carry our own part in suffering. In our time and age, the Age of Reformation, which soon celebrates its 500th year of existence, few people are honest enough with themselves to admit that they are by nature inclined to pride and envy, like the Jews who rejected their suffering Redeemer. And judging of the intensity, how people of today are attached to the occasions of mortal sin, few seem to worry too much about falling into sin themselves. But we cannot be true Christians, that is, Catholics, and at the same time seek to live a comfortable life, hoping at its close to pass quietly without any shock to a heaven where we shall be perfectly happy. All Christians are under two obligations. First, they must make reparation in union with Christ, who was born solely for this purpose. Secondly, they must make this reparation as he wills it, namely by suffering. Saint Peter wrote, "For this is thank, if for conscience of God a man sustains sorrows, suffering unjustly. For what glory is it, if sinning and buffeted you suffer? But if doing well you sustain patiently, this is thank before God. For unto this are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow his steps. From this you should see how utterly false is a Protestant Christ who silences the aching cry of man's conscience, closes his eyes of sin and covers them out of sight, and takes man to heaven without the need of reparation. If any Christian is not willing to suffer, then he is a follower of this false Christ. The disciple is not greater than his master. Our Savior has suffered, and as St. Peter just told us, every Christian must suffer in some form or another. This means, among other things, that he needs to sacrifice his own comfort and get himself to Mass on Sunday. Also, if his marriage has become broken and unrepairable, either through his own fault or through the fault of his spouse, he has to spend the rest of the marriage life alone. And that means also that no matter how delicious would a tasty hamburger or chicken be in the midst of the hard day's work, if it is Friday, he has to pass it over. Otherwise, he shows he is not willing to commemorate the tormented passion of our Lord, which he went through because of the sins of men. By refusing doing reparation by suffering, a Christian will prove that not only does he has a false Christ, but also that his own title, a Christian, is nothing but a sham, because he has failed to live up the life of a Christian, who must always and necessarily be a friend of suffering. Our Lord's words are truly frightening. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Any Protestant who might hear this, he might be inclined to think that Catholicism is nothing but doom and gloom, sackcloths and ashes, spending the few years in misery and then dying away. But that is not the case. Reparation does not mean doom and gloom, but it means joyful submission to carry one's lightsome cross, as Christ carried his heavy one. I wanted to give you an example from the life of a man of whom I read during Christmas time in a book written by his daughter. He was an Irish man who came from Beamer, Nebraska. His name was Lawrence MacDonough, and he was wholeheartedly devoted to God, family, and to his Irish roots. He came from a very poor family, and the more well-to-do people in Beamer treated him with contempt. His family moved to Los Angeles to seek a better life, where he married and supported his family with hard work. Years later, one of his daughters got a role of Erin Walton in the Waltons TV series, which became a worldwide hit. And all of a sudden, the high society of Beamer wanted to get together with Mr. MacDonough again. And he was only too happy to be invited at the homes of those who had shunned him as a child. His daughter, on the other hand, wanted to be mean right back to them and reject them. She said, "Daddy, just tell them no. They were horrible to you when you were a kid." This man was not a canonized saint, but he certainly was not going to let his teenage daughter to tell him what to do, and said, "Now, Mary B., we'll go, and you'll be nice, and you smile." So she had to accompany her father from house to house, pretending she had a great time, and to begrudgingly eat more fried chicken dinners than she could digest. But all the time, as she wrote later, she watched her father and admired his integrity, dignity, and grace. Despite the painful memories of childhood, he was enjoying himself in his old hometown, as he would be in the midst of best friends instead of long-standing enemies. This kind of spirit of charity towards enemies, abandoning grudges and carry one's sorrows patiently, is exactly what reparation is about. And it is exactly what Catholicism is about. Protestantism chooses to ignore the sins. Catholicism makes reparation of them. It is not easy, far from it, but as it is beautifully expressed in the Imitation of Christ, put it out of thy heart the best thou canst, and if tribulation have touched thee, yet let it not cast thee down, nor long perplex thee. Bear it at least patiently, if thou canst not joyfully. So there is no option. If someone has been mean and horrible to you, you must be nice to them back, because otherwise you turn your back to Christ, who chose to be crucified for your sins and for your enemies' sins. You have to smile and forgive your enemies, even as Christ has forgiven you your own sins. And even if you hate to do that, you too must eat all the fried chicken that you can digest, if that be the will of your Heavenly Father. But not on Fridays, because otherwise you would deny your homage to the memory of Christ suffering and dying for you on that day. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.